There are lots of agencies, both public and private, ready to help people in need. If you need food or shelter or clothing, there are places to go for those. But when you get entangled in a situation that might at some point be helped by somebody with knowledge of the legal system, that might be a little harder to find. Just such an organization exists in Medford. Help Now Advocacy Center is its name. We visited a number of times over the years with Larry Kahn, the founder and executive director of Help Now Advocacy Center. He's back this time on the phone to talk about the work of his organization. Larry, welcome back to The Exchange.
Morning, Jeff. Glad to be back. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Tell us, if you would, a little bit about yourself and what led to the formation of Help Now Advocacy Center.
For better or for worse, I do have a legal background. However, I do want to be clear on something right from the start. We cannot and do not give legal advice to people. We can, in certain instances, help on legal issues, but that's through working with our attorney community partners and gaining information for people that way who are licensed in Oregon, or by actually referring people to one of those attorney partners on a legal issue. What we do, and the gist of what we do, is negotiation on behalf of our clients, and that negotiation is by necessity non-legal. In other words, we don't throw the law at, say, a landlord with whom we're negotiating. We try to negotiate based on what can be, in some instances, sympathy factors or certain facts of the situation that might be favorable to our client. Going back to your original question, yes, I do have a legal background. I practiced for many years in Washington, D.C. as a prosecutor and also in private practice there. As a prosecutor, I was prosecuting for false advertising for the Federal Trade Commission and also product defects. And then I also worked as a prosecutor in San Diego and did some private practice there in addition to teaching law.
So was there some sense that people just were not, or were just getting abused by the system? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what the driving force was in creating Help Now Advocacy Center.
Well, there were several. Yes, when I was, with the Federal Trade Commission, and I found some of the abuses that were being perpetrated by large corporations, both in terms of advertising deceptiveness and also product defects. That was one thing that I felt the little guy, so to speak, always needed somebody on his or her side as opposed to the big boys on Wall Street or wherever. So that was number one. Then when I was in private practice, I was, because I had a background somewhat in psychology as well, I was helping people through various types of personal crisis situations, meaning I was with one of the top firms doing domestic relations, plaintiff's medical malpractice, and plaintiff's personal injury work. So again, usually dealing and working with somebody who had been in a personal crisis situation. So there is that common thread to my prior work. But beyond that, I have a son who suffers from mental illness, and just on a de facto basis, I have been assisting him through his life. He's now approaching middle age, and found that my speaking up on his behalf made a tremendous difference in his life, both in terms of housing, jobs, pretty much across the board. And I thought to myself, why not, since I'm not looking for my next meal at this point, why not help other people who might be in similar circumstances? And that's as much as anything. And I should also say, when my mother was still on this plane of existence, she also, in her latter years, had situations where people and others were trying to take advantage of her, and I was able to intervene on her behalf to kind of level the playing field there. So those two personal experiences, coupled with my legal background, I think gave rise to the
And when did you open the doors, and what were some of the first steps?
Well, we're actually going on our 11th year, I'm proud to say, and we're approaching 5,000 people in the Valley and beyond that we've assisted in that time. I started it in 2004. The first steps were, and this thing really did come to me somewhat inspirationally in the middle of one night back in January of 2004, but I shortly thereafter went around interviewing elected officials, other agency heads, both nonprofit and governmental agency heads, to see if anybody was doing anything similar to the work that that I was contemplating doing for the Valley.
So you looked for a niche in which there was not a served population. We'll pick it up there on the other side of a break. Larry Kahn's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, founder and executive director of HelpNow Advocacy Center based in Medford. You can join our discussion on the exchange when we return. We'll come back in a minute 15 to talk to Larry and you. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking today to Larry Kahn. He's the founder and executive director of the HelpNow Advocacy Center based in Medford. He started it back in 2004, now in its 11th year. He was looking for a way to help people who could use an advocate, not a legal representative per se, but an advocate. He does have a legal background, and you can call in and ask questions, make comments about the work that goes on at that center and the sorts of things that go on. Join us at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. So that was really interesting what you were just saying before the break, Larry, about talking to a lot of people at different agencies, governmental and not, looking for a niche, it sounds like, an area that was not served.
Well, I was perfectly happy to sign on with anybody who was doing this type of work already. I didn't necessarily want to establish an agency. I just wanted to lend my abilities to assisting in that direction, but it turned out nobody was doing the work that we're doing, and in fact, as we've researched it since, there's nobody in the entire country that's doing the work that we're doing.
Really? That seems a little hard to believe. I mean, is it often done by other agencies or what?
The reason is that there are several things that set us apart from other agencies. Probably the most largest factor is that we assist people with issues across the board, meaning they can come to us with practically any kind of problem, and we will either plug them into a service provider if they're needy and can't afford such a person, or we'll get them an answer. Let's say it's a specific legal question that they have an answer on. We'll either set them up for a consultation free of charge with an attorney, or we can approach an attorney and pose questions to them legally, I should say to him or her legally, and then act as a conduit taking that answer back to the client. That is permissible under Oregon law for us to do. So that's the type of service that we can provide, but we can provide those services not only in the service area, but negotiating. We had a situation that arose late last year where, in fact, this occurred in Ashland. A military vet who was disabled, his caregiver called us. He had been in a situation where he had to be rushed to the hospital by paramedics earlier in 2013, and they apparently rushed him so to the hospital that his door was unlocked, and a homeless fellow that he knew came in, stole his ATM card, found his PIN number in the same drawer of his desk, took that, and emptied his account to the tune of $1,100. This guy gets out of the hospital about 3 weeks later, and apparently went through some nursing home before he returned to his apartment, and starts to write checks, and the bank, of course, bounces the checks because the account's been depleted by $1,100. Well, the bank graciously says, well, we'll refund you the overdraft charges, but they weren't willing to do anything about the $1,100. They said that he had authorized the withdrawals. And this man and his caregiver for 8 months have been trying to get the bank to give back and restore the funds. They contacted us because they were completely frustrated, and this may have come to us. KOBI-TV sends us many of these types of situations where people are absolutely at a dead end in terms of trying to solve something themselves. We got involved. It did take some, this was U.S. Bank, it did take some doing to get through their bureaucracy. Took over a month, actually, which is long for us. Oftentimes, one call, we solve the problem. This was not one of those. But eventually, we reached somebody in U.S. Bank's corporate headquarters in Minneapolis who was in a position to do something about this. She told us that if we could present evidence that this homeless person had been or was being criminally prosecuted, she would see to it that the monies were refunded. That very next day, we faxed to her the indictment of this homeless guy for the crime, and the day following, the money was back in this vet's account. It took nearly a year for that to happen, but he got the money back. That's the type of scratching and clawing we do on behalf of clients that is, and again, if you can put that in a context of handling virtually any type of problem, handling it immediately if need be, where the circumstances justify, and the kind of persistence that we apply to a problem, that's nobody else is doing that. There are groups like Elders in Action up in Portland that help seniors specifically with issues such as housing, scams, and so forth, and they will advocate on those, but they're, again, limited by population, limited by subject area that they'll tackle.
That story of the disabled vet, though, and the money is, I mean, that's a real dogged pursuit of an objective and finally achieving that objective. Was the bank under any legal obligation to return the money?
Well, again, I can't speak to that. Mm-hmm. We basically, when we approach banks, landlords, whatever, we asked them to just do the right thing and the fair thing, and it was clear, and I should tell you that the bank had done, quote-unquote, an investigation at the vet and his caregiver's request initially, and had determined through their, quote-unquote, investigation that the use of the ATM was authorized. And the basis for their determining that was simply because this homeless guy had access to the PIN. But again, that was explained. Apparently, the door to the vet's apartment was left open, and so that the guy walked in there, and for better or for worse, the vet had left his PIN somewhere near the card in his desk drawer.
Oh,
and of course, the homeless guy had plenty of time to go through his stuff because the guy was gone for 3 weeks.
Larry Kahn's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the founder and executive director of Help Now Advocacy Center based in Medford. And as you might have heard him say earlier, they do things that other agencies don't do, which is advocate on behalf of people who've got some issues. Not quite to the point of legal issues, perhaps, but getting close. And you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the process that goes on there and how they do the work they do. 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So it sounds like that really is, it's not just a name, it's also a bit of a mantra, help now. I mean, you say that usually things are done with one phone call. So is there a target you're trying to hit just as a manager, saying, oh, I want things dealt with within the first 12 hours or something?
Well, it's certainly our intent that if somebody calls, if it's something that we can achieve. Sometimes they have to sign a release for us to be able to even talk to the opposing party. Let's say there's an issue. We've had people who have agency issues. I can recall one of the first matters we handled back in 2004 was a fellow who was being served by Jackson County Mental Health, and this guy had to be hospitalized for 6 months, and when he got out of the hospital, all of his belongings, he had been in an adult foster care home, all of his belongings had been removed from the foster care home, and nobody could find them, including Jackson County Mental Health, and the caseworker had overseen the removal of the items from the foster care home. But again, the items were missing. And initially, we had to get a release signed by this man so we could even talk to Jackson County Mental Health to try to recover the items. It turned out the items were never found, but thanks to the intervention of Hank Collins, now deceased, the head of Jackson County Health and Human Services, Hank said, we need to do the right thing here, and they did compensate the guy through insurance for his loss. Some pictures and other things were lost in the process as well, which are, of course, irreplaceable. But the point is that we sometimes have to have releases to get to the proper level of authority so that we can achieve what our clients ask us to achieve.
This is a tricky business, it sounds like, in the best of circumstances, especially when you're taking on bureaucracies and still getting something resembling a human touch out of them in the end.
That's correct.
And as you pointed out, particularly in the case with the disabled vet and the bank, it took the better part of a year. How is this done? I mean, how big is your staff? What are the staff positions? What do people do there?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. Actually, we're grossly understaffed right now, and if any of the listening audience is interested in volunteering, it's really scintillating work. I find it actually far more interesting than law practice because the circumstances that present themselves are so varied and so wide. We had a woman, Jeff, call, whose brother was a priest in Mexico, and he had been kidnapped by the cartel. And the family down there paid a ransom and got him back. But when she called us, he was being trailed again by, her concern was, the cartel, and the family did not have more money to free him. Now, obviously, our reach and our negotiation don't quite extend that far, but we another type of support that we give people besides negotiating on their behalf and besides connecting them to service providers where appropriate and if they're needy, the other thing we do is provide what we call advice and support. So in that instance, we gave her some ideas that she hadn't thought of previously that she could utilize in possibly helping her own situation.
All right. So you give people the tools in addition to advice and assistance here.
Correct.
Directly.
Correct.
Let's take a call. We have Wolfgang in Sunny Valley on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Larry Kahn from the Help Now Advocacy Center in Medford.
Good morning. Good morning. I mean, this is a very, very burning subject because I think the number of people subjected to arbitrary or unjust legal problems or agency problems is huge. Like, I mean, the people suing people for no reason, and you get a letter from an attorney or a summons, 30-page thing, if you don't know that this is just hot air, you keel over. And that kind of stuff, an agency makes a demand, and it's a clerical error, but you don't know that. I mean, it's huge, that problem. How do you think we should address the rest of the iceberg when you're talking about the tip?
Well, that's an excellent point, and you're absolutely correct. That's why there's overwhelming demand for our services. My hope had been, and I'll share this with the listening audience, we have our board has authorized us from time to time to make exploratory efforts to spread our work to other areas of the country, because, as I said, no one's doing it, and it is an iceberg. I mean, this is a tremendous problem, and people, even well-educated people, sometimes don't always know the ins and outs in terms of dealing with bureaucracies, and we're able to, Jeff, you raised the question about staffing. We are able to train staff to be able to do this kind of problem-solving work. And so the hope over time was, I don't know that this is going to come to fruition ever, that we could become a national organization that would help people in similar ways, because, again, the need exists across the country. And I'll add that we have people that find us as far away as the East Coast. We had one lady, this is a bit humorous, call us, and she had a southern accent. This is goes back 3-4 years, and she said, "I'm from Ashland," and we first, of course, thought it was the local Ashland. It turned out she was calling from Ashland, Kentucky, and what happened was she had entrusted her younger daughter, who was 7, to her older daughter for a trip to some relatives in Grants Pass. Well, the older daughter decided that the mother was not taking good enough care of the younger daughter, and decided she wasn't going to come home with the younger daughter. And we got a call, desperate call, from this lady in Ashland, Kentucky, saying, "I need help to get my younger daughter back." We did make contact with the relatives. We made contact with local Josephine County Department of Human Services, Child Protective Services. And in fact, somebody there swooped up the younger girl and accompanied her on a flight back to Kentucky. So when people reach out to us and find us even on the web, we don't, although 98% of our work, 99% of our work is to help people in the Rogue Valley, we don't refuse anybody, because we don't recognize geographic boundaries. If people need help, they need help.
You mentioned helping 5,000 people since Help Now Advocacy Center opened its doors in 2014. Approaching 5,000. And it seems like the last time we talked to you in 2011, there was definitely a bit of a wave that had just crested or was just about to crest because of a lot of people with concerns about things related to the Great Recession. Has your workload slacked off a little bit since that time?
Slightly, but more due to the fact that our staffing is down right now. More so that we're still getting, and I would say that the economic calls of power shutoffs and evictions have diminished a bit since then. But there have been other kinds of issues that have filled in the gap. So we're still. Some days we get as many as 10 calls a day.
And so how is the intake process handled? Because I could just imagine there'd be some things that come in the door and either one person or a group of people would think, oh, boy, who do we call first on this one?
Well, our intake process usually takes, first of all, 98, 99% of our work is transacted by telephone. And we actually prefer that because it's more efficient. When people are in face-to-face meetings, they tend to schmooze and talk more, and we just need to get to the gist of their problem, understand what it is, and then get started on it. So we're really very much a no-nonsense agency. We don't have time to chit-chat with people because we take our mission very seriously, and that's helping people and helping them immediately. So the intake is basically name, address, phone, a few bits of demographics for our database, and then what's your problem?
All right, we'll talk more about the process undertaken by Help Now Advocacy Center in its advocacy work. Larry Kahns, the founder and executive director and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. If you have comments or questions, let's hear them when we come back from this break with Larry Kahn and you. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 20. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking today to Larry Kahn, who is the executive director and founder of Help Now Advocacy Center in Medford. He says there's very few other places, if any, in the country that do what they do, which is just give people some advocacy, somebody to help them through a process where they're stuck. Not legal representation, something short of that, but assistance and advocacy from Help Now Advocacy Center. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your comments and questions about process, about cases. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Larry, we were just talking about the intake process, and it usually is done by phone. You get some real, just the facts, ma'am, kind of issues about a particular set of problems raised by the person who's calling you. And then how much time elapses before you get back to them and either have more questions or have some answers for them?
Sometimes it can be literally a matter of a few minutes. I would say there are maybe 20-25% of the matters we handle. When we hang up the phone from the client, we'll pick up the phone, call the opposing party, and as I said, maybe 20 to 25% of the time, it's resolved in one phone call, and we're back to them and within the hour.
Is it because that the people on the other side of the situation, from the people who seek your help, were not aware of any legal responsibilities they might have, or just because they're being told by a third party, hey, you really should do the right thing here? I mean, what's the usual motivator here?
The latter thing you say. We cannot tell them. That's if we were to tell them anything about legal responsibilities, which we're not in a position to do because we're not practicing attorneys, that would be practice of law, which we can't do. So what we do is, again, tell them what might be some facts that are sympathetic to our client. We also go in saying that, this is what so-and-so reports, our client reports. We don't necessarily take that as the given truth. Sometimes we find in talking to the other party in these dispute situations that, in fact, our client has a very skewed view of what happened. And in that instance, and we have to kind of piece together what happened ourselves between what we hear from our client and then what we hear when we make such a call. But in piecing it together, we can come up with something which reflects, or at least we think reflects, the reality of the situation. And so sometimes our assistance to the client takes the form of going back to the client and saying, is this, we learned thus and such from your landlord or whatever, did that in fact happen? And if sometimes, again, people, because they're under stress, may omit a fact or two that can be important in terms of resolving these things, if we go back to the person, the client, and say, was this in fact something you did or something that happened? Oh, yes, it was. Well, then that changes the picture. So we, again, try to come out with a fair outcome to everybody. Sometimes that winds up going back to the client and saying, you need to reconsider the actions that you've taken here. Sometimes it's going to the landlord or the bank or whatever, and asking them to change their course of action.
All right, but there are those situations, as you point out, where you're saying, okay, you need to do this and this to the client, and then things will be better for you.
That's correct, and that's still advice to the client. Anytime our intervention puts the client in a better place than he or she would have been without such an intervention, we consider that person to be a client. Now, if the situation is one where, say, the client signs a release or never we send off a release for us to talk to XYZ agency and they never send us back that release and we never do anything, obviously that person, we do not consider them a client. So when I say we've assisted going on 5,000 people, those are people where we've either rendered advice, negotiated on their behalf, or connected them to a service provider.
All right, but that release is an important one because you really can't work on somebody's behalf unless they actually authorize you to do so.
Exactly, right.
Let us take a call from Shirley in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Larry Kahn, founder and executive director at HelpNow Advocacy Center in Medford.
Hi. I just wanted to relay an experience. I had an experience with HelpNow last year, and I was referred to them through, I don't remember which congressman that I had contacted. It might have seemed like a really minor matter to some people, but it was really important to me at the time. I had been residing in a care facility due to an injury that I had, and I had a friend took me down to the hospital for a test in my wheelchair van. And while at the hospital, my van was ticketed for a handicap placard violation because the placard was rather weathered and they said they couldn't read it well. Anyway, it was still valid, but I had the ticket anyway. And I had contacted the court trying to get the appearance date put back further because I knew I was still going to be in a care facility and or the hospital and I wasn't going to be able to appear on the date that was cited. And they were willing to put it off, but only for 2 weeks, which was nowhere near long enough. And so I ended up contacting HelpNow, and they ended up getting it put off for 3 months, which was just ideal because I ended up in the hospital at Portland. There's no way I could have appeared at the time. And it was a significant dollar amount ticket that I really wanted to personally appear on. So I just wanted to relay how much help they were to me.
All right. Thanks for sharing the story, Shirley. Appreciate it. And that ticket probably would have cost her several hundred dollars, I'm thinking, Larry Kahn.
That's probably right, and I do remember that that situation. And what Shirley said is accurate. We were able to get in touch with the right person within the court system who was, again, sympathetic to her circumstances. And, again, one of the things we've found through the years we've been doing this work is that people are people, and if you can touch them on a human level, most people will react in a humane way towards their fellow man. And that's probably been as strong as anything why we've been so successful in the work we've done.
Seems like there'd be a certain delicacy of approach here then, because you don't want to, I mean, you want to get results from people, but you also don't want to badger them or make them feel like their viewpoint is invalid. So this takes some finesse, doesn't it?
Yes, and that, and as I alluded before, it's letting the quote-unquote opposing party, if there is one, know that we're not taking the what the client has told us as the God-given truth. We've had, I can recall, this goes a number of years back, but this is one of a very few where we were not successful. But I was trying to assist a mentally ill woman who wanted to stay on in an apartment, but she had cursed at the landlord in a burst of temper, and I attempted to explain that by the fact that she did have a mental illness. But at that point, the landlord had been so offended by what she had said to him that there was just no undoing the damage that had been done. But in the more typical situation, the opposing party, the landlord, the bank, the business, is happy to speak to somebody who is not emotionally embroiled in the dispute and can more accurately parse out the facts and trying to come up with a solution that's fair to both sides.
Are there some cases that come in through Help Now Advocacy Center that you refer or that end up otherwise at Mediation Works or a place like that?
We do sometimes refer to Mediation Works. There have been disputes between neighbors, for instance, which is something that they do. So, yes, we will refer to other agencies where appropriate, absolutely.
You mentioned, we've talked several times about situations with landlords. Is that the bulk of the work? I mean, is that about three-quarters of the cases you have, more or less?
No, it's probably 15 to 30% of the matters that we have. But it is something that comes in with some frequency and seems recently, for whatever reason, we've had a few more of those than has typically been the case over the years. So it's probably, I've got landlord-tenant on the mind right now.
It's hard not to, I'm sure. But you did mention some help with people who might be facing eviction. Now, foreclosure sounds like it's a more legal type thing. Is that something you don't get involved with?
That is correct. We do not. What we have done there is refer people to governmental agencies. We have, there have been some scams involving mortgage refinance situations, and in those instances, we have helped. There was an attorney down in California who was perpetrating a mortgage refinance scheme where they were taking fees from people up front. We actually helped get this guy disbarred from the California bar. The other thing I'll mention is that we have a wonderful resource. One of our volunteers, Mark Cole, is a former Social Security officer, assisted and worked there for 33 years. He has been tirelessly helping people with Social Security disability applications and also in instances where there have been mistaken overpayments by the agency, Social Security Administration. In some instances, he's been able to get the agency to roll back their demand for repayment or to retract the demand entirely. So Mark has been a wonderful resource for us. He's been with us 2 to 3 years, and in fact, the local office of the Social Security Administration, because they're somewhat overloaded and apparently no longer help people on their initial applications as they used to, are referring people to us. That said, Mark is somewhat backlogged, so if people are in that situation, they should understand that that's one where they may have to wait a little bit to get an appointment with him.
You mentioned that one of the motivators for you, Larry Kahn, in starting Help Now Advocacy Center was a son with mental illness, and I want to go into this just a little further because it crosses over with other topics we've discussed here on The Exchange, mental illness and homelessness among them. And the overall sense we get is that there is a crying need for greater amounts of mental health services and the ability to find people to get to them because they often fall through the cracks and do things like end up homeless. Over the time you've been trying to help your son through his issues, I mean, has anything improved? Do you see it getting any better, or does it get worse over time, or is it about the same?
I would have to say I think there is not. There's been maybe marginal improvement. The problem, the whole issue in that area, and I unfortunately am not able to listen to The Exchange every day, but one of the ongoing discussion topics, if you will, pertaining to mental illness is to the extent to which the authorities can mandate treatment of mentally ill people, mentally ill adults, as opposed to just letting them be on the streets and non-medicated and so forth. And that's a... you hear about the shootings and mental illness connected to that. Those issues are lurking always in the background. They are striking a balance, and right now the balance has been struck more through, less intervention, less hands-on for people in those circumstances. And you know, we see some of the results of that, unfortunately.
I want to ask you finally, before we go, just in general, for folks who are thinking about using services at HelpNow Advocacy Center, it probably helps if they have their ducks in a row before they pick up the phone and call you. So what are some of the steps people should take before they call HelpNow Advocacy Center?
Yeah, and let me mention one thing. We do not charge for our services. One of the things I had done for years in private practice is fee for service. When I started HelpNow, and part of the inspiration in starting this was help people first, and then if they're able to donate, let them do that from their heart. But if they listen to our message, the incoming message, which they will, we because of our understaffing, don't typically pick up the phone. We'll return calls promptly, but not necessarily engage in first immediate conversation. But we ask them to state their issue. So we want them to focus a little bit on what it is they need help with before they call us, because it doesn't help us if they're all over the board with issues.
All right. Well, always good to talk to you at HelpNow Advocacy Center. Larry Kahn, the founder and executive director. Thank you so much for joining us again on The Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
You bet. Tomorrow on The Exchange at 8 o'clock, we'll talk about the National Day of Civic Hacking and what that's all about. We'll talk about Oregon's Studio to School Art Program at 8:30. And then at 9 o'clock, you'll meet the author of the book about advice that mothers can leave their kids. Do your laundry or you'll die alone is the name of the book. That's all tomorrow on the Jefferson Exchange. Our producer is Charlotte Duren, our student assistant Reed Newland. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening and have a great day.